Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Number 8. Last Demand, Demons Out. Number 7. Melia, Charge Like a Bull.
To the Mosh Pit, your host Wes Everett, my awesome guest with me today, Mr. Patrick from Faithhead.
What's up, Wes?
Dude, it's been a while. We have been trying to do this now for what, 2 years?
Something like that. It's probably 2 years. Did I win a prize? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Correct answer on that one.
All right. Yeah. Now it's funny because we had done that show down here. Was it Adairsville that we had done?
Aragon?
Yeah, Aragon.
Yeah, that place.
Back in March, right before the pandemic hit, I started remodeling my house, which was a 6-month project because we were planning on selling it.
Yeah.
And then we sold it in September, and kind of the height of the pandemic, and then we moved in with my parents. Because we were building a house, and it took like a year. So I've been kind of trapped in my own little world, it seems like, for the last year and a half, trying to get my family relocated, into a new home. And the first 6 months was just a lot of waiting. And the last 6 months was me just having to go behind my contractor, trying to figure out what has to happen today so the things that are supposed to happen tomorrow can happen. So there were 6 months of that. So I have to apologize. My life has been, I've been very preoccupied, but we're in the house now, so it's all good. I can actually focus on stuff like this again. And, like I said, I'm excited to be here. I wanted to be here for a long, long time. But, as we were talking before, you don't know how COVID crazy people are,
mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, I'd love to come down. It's like, are you kidding? We're in the middle of a pandemic. life must go on. Yeah. Okay.
One way or another. You're right. I mean, it has been absolutely crazy. We, amidst the pandemic, we also had a flood, which was freaking lovely.
We had one too. Did you see our flood?
I did.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, Flood Brothers.
Flood Brothers. There we go.
Yeah.
The rain and the flood. We shall be victorious.
I was really thinking we were about to have to build a boat, a bigger boat.
You need a bigger boat.
Yeah, it was not pretty, but
how did it get in down here, if you don't mind me asking?
How did it get in?
Did it just come down the steps?
Pretty much. Didn't even knock, just came on in.
That's so rude.
And the worst part of it, like, we sealed ours. We did this floor when we first got in here because this used to be a screen printing place, so you can imagine what the floor looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we covered it with epoxy, garage epoxy.
Yeah.
We put the flakes down and immediately regretted that.
Because I bet when you went to go squeegee it up, resistance.
God. Dude, there was the flakes were just, I mean, they ended up everywhere. I'm so glad we got rid of the old couch. Actually, it floated away during the flood. But we put the epoxy down, which was great. Well, we thought about going up the walls originally, but then it was that, dude, that's exposed brick. Leave that alone.
Yeah.
Well,
it looks great, man. I like it.
Thank you. Well, when it flooded, it flooded the entire creek in the back, and it came under the door. But not only under the door, there's two basements next to us. So when it got in there, it leaked into ours because they're not sealed either. So where that gray line is,
yeah,
that's how high the water was.
Well, let me tell you about our little episode. So we have a rehearsal space in Fort Oglethorpe. It's kind of really right there where Fort Oglethorpe and Rossville meet. Mm-hmm. And it's we're in the lower part of the building, and from what I understand, it was a drainage pipe broke, and it just came down the wall and down the hall. And our rehearsal space, we had carpet.
Oh.
All on the floor, you know, for soundproofing and whatnot, uh-huh. Standing, and because, you know, we rehearse, you know, 3-4 hours, you know, pretty straight, you know, tightening up the live show. And I'm not to sound too childish, but I mean, these carpets just soaked up all the water like a bunch of tampons. Oh. And it really kind of kept it from the rest of the building flooding. Because it soaked it up, and we have carpet on the walls, and so it went up the carpet and the wall. So it was pretty nasty when it was all said and done. Fortunately, we didn't have a whole lot of loss. Most of the stuff was, in a road case or something like that.
Right.
We pretty much had to ditch all the rugs, and then we had to cut up some of the carpet. But,
isn't it lovely?
And it never smells, and it still doesn't smell right.
No.
Never smells right after the fact.
No. Home Depot, not a sponsor, but
right.
It's called Inside. Inside. I don't know. I got a bottle around here. I'll let you see it.
Yeah.
It's what we use down here, and we coated everything, basically sealing down.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't smell like a basement anymore.
Yeah. Well, we're moving out of that rehearsal space. At the end of the month,
Let somebody else deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been there for 5 years. Nice. I mean, it's been not in that particular space, but in that building for 5 years. Make a long story short, I've got a building that I've, I'm built a new house, and I got a building coming, and I'm going to. So we don't have to pay money out every month.
Yeah.
So we'll have our own, permanent rehearsal space that not everybody has to pony up money every month. Because, it's everything's going up. It's getting expensive. I'd rather be sinking, $200+ a month into studio time rather than, a rehearsal space that we're using, four times a month. It just doesn't make economic sense.
Yeah.
But, at the time it did because we kind of needed a meeting place for everybody to meet. So. Yeah. But, our set's pretty tight. The only thing we really, unless we're reworking it for, 2022, we really don't need it other than storage. And I'm like, well, I can get a building big enough for us to store stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, I'm 2022 will be exciting if we can get into our new rehearsal space and actually spend that money in the studio.
Nice. So what have you guys been working on? What do we have in store?
Well, we released a new album this year, the Born Again album, which is really a re-recording of a lot of the stuff from the first album, with a new song. Well, it's not really a new song. It was Brian's old band, Nevermind the Damage song, Wait and See, that we all love. So it made sense to put it on this one. We released Born Again kind of as in preparation to go into the studio, so we were making sure we're getting the Faith Head sound. And we released When the Dominoes Fall back at the end of April, and we just released the next song, In Between, on November 5th, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So just like a lot of bands right now, we've just kind of been trying to play out as much as we can as things opened up.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Because we want to go do shows, but you can't do shows and go to the studio at the same time because they both cost money.
Yep.
But you can't make money unless you're doing shows. So it's kind of that catch 22 vicious cycle thing. But, we're pretty much done with shows for the year. And I'm not planning on booking us any shows unless it's just a, you know, massive opportunity to, you know, just a massive opportunity until the album is done, just to be honest. Because we will, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to focus and we're going to get this music recorded. Oh, a new gig, you know. You know, it's like, oh, something shiny, you know.
Yep.
And we're just, because we're a live band. I mean, that's just what we do. It's what we love to do best. And that's how we make new fans. And
exactly.
So it's just, if we can resist the urge, you know, to do shows and actually focus on, you know, recording,
mm-hmm.
it would be a whole lot better. So I hope, you know, like I said, we just released In Between back in November. And if we can kind of get our ducks in a row over the next couple of months, hopefully we'll release a new one and come January.
Nice.
And then we'll probably release one more after that. And I'm hoping if all the money and funding and all that fun stuff comes together for us to actually do what we're wanting to do, I'm hoping by May we'll have an album.
That's good.
I mean, you know, that's the tentative plan. Of course, I say that, you know, at the end of 2019, I looked at my guys and I said, 2020 is going to be our year.
Yes, it is.
And God laughed. Yep. And it was pretty much.
I know that feeling. I know that feeling well.
Yeah.
2019, we get moved in the studio. 2020 is going to be, we're going to do interviews and we're going to do all this. And no, we didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, because you just don't know.
You don't.
You know, and I say this, and it, you know, you can take it for what you want, but you know, we traveled pretty much all over the country for the last 2 years. You know, we did the Chains Unchained Festival in Missouri at the height of the pandemic. I think it was June 2020. You know, it's very different. You know, and you know, from place to place, and how people react to it. You know, at that festival, you know, maybe a third of the people were wearing masks. The other two thirds didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
And it depends on where you are. When we were coming back from, I can't remember if it was Resound or Rock in the River. You know, it's just like you get to the closer to the big cities, everybody's locked down. You drive 30 minutes out, everybody's trying to live their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on where you are. So it makes planning, you know, shows and doing shows, it makes it very problematic.
Oh, yeah.
Did I answer your question? I can't remember. What was the question? What's our plans?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where we are. Like I said, if I can avoid the temptation to do some shows, it's tough because it's what we like to do.
Right.
And, you know, but if we can do some local stuff, that would be great. But we don't, you know, it's hard. It's hard to find local shows, especially in Chattanooga, for what we do. The need is still there to do it. But,
See, that part really kind of surprises me because I've always considered Tennessee to be like the music state. I mean, you got Nashville, you got Memphis, but then on the outskirts you still have, I mean, Chattanooga's always been known for their music.
Well, Chattanooga's where strippers and musicians go to die. I mean, and just being all honesty, I mean, it's like that Chattanooga could have a great scene
mm-hmm.
if they would open it up. You know, the problem is they get too hung up on the trends. You know, if we were wearing man buns and beards and playing acoustic guitars and things like that, that would be, you know, we could play and doing covers. We'd have a gig every Friday and Saturday night and maybe picking up a Wednesday night gig, but that's not what we do. You know, there's some great places in Chattanooga to play. Mm-hmm. Ziggy's has always been, and we've always played Ziggy's. We were playing what was called the Cloud Springs Deli, but it got shut down because they were running like a poker ring in the back or something. Oh. You know, depending on whatever allegedly, that was you know, they weren't doing live shows anymore. I don't even know if they're still in business.
Oh, wow.
And then there's JJ Bohemians, but we've never been able to get in there. There's Mayo's, which I you know, it's a great place. It's a tiny stage for a 5-piece band.
Yeah.
But the cigarette smoke's what's the killer. You know, you go in there and it's like you got a cloud, and you're standing there and you got a cloud of smoke that's hanging above your chin. You know, it's kind of hard to do as an energetic live show is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me, because we're not snobs, you know, a stage is a stage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who wants to stand up there on a tiny stage just playing your songs and not really able to perform? I mean,
right.
as a viewer, what would you prefer? I mean you've seen us live.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the big stage. I like, you know, for you to get around. And, I mean, that's not even just you guys. Like, we've been – have you guys – you know Smith's Old Bar in Atlanta, right?
No. We can't get shot in Atlanta.
Oh.
We can't even get a gig in Atlanta. You know, that's the other weird part. You know, we have a huge streaming audience in Atlanta. I look at all the stats.
Yeah.
And we can't get a show.
That's so crazy.
It is nuts.
Well, you know the mosh pit.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know you guys.
So we are going to try to get you guys in Atlanta.
Okay, that works. Because
Atlanta is...
Oh, something shiny.
Yes, exactly. So we went to see Fozzy. Okay. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Fozzy fan. Always have been. We went to see them at Smith's, mm-hmm. and their stage where they played, I mean, it wasn't no bigger than the stage that the couch is on.
Right.
And even Chris Jericho, lead singer, he even mentioned in part of the act, he's like, this is part of my act where I actually stand up on the speaker and I jump off and it looks really cool. He said, I don't have the height here. He said, I don't have the room. He said, so I'm going to do a little jump. And you guys are just going to act like it was big. And it was great. I mean, he did it. It was funny, but it's like.
Number 6. Darkening skies, jump off the bridge, and live. These monsters are grabbing and pawing and biting. They're after my blood on this night. Looking for any way. My clothing is torn right to shreds. I'll kick and I'll scream and I'll show them no mercy. I'm trapped in my personal strife. I have to run to survive. Can't stop, I must stay alive. If you value your life, stay out of my way tonight. Number 5. My latest failure, voices. Number 4. Arc the Storm, Parallels.
Passive tendencies make way for a more aggressive approach. Fights of the past demand we journey farther from home. We
that's the thing. You know, we like to perform. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to move. I mean, if we're a cover band playing, you know, covers, everybody just wants to listen. But, you know, we do mostly all original music. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we want it to be visually appealing as well as, you know,
right.
You know, sonically.
Yeah.
And that's this part that really just sucks, you know, because a lot of places you're just kind of crammed in there as an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. It's a tough decision when it comes to booking shows because, you know, you want to play wherever anybody will have you, but the, you know, it's like when you get in there, you're like, okay, it's going to be one of these shows where I'm trying not to smack Adam in the head with a headstock or, mm-hmm. you know, or poke somebody's eye out with a key tuner or something like that. So
there's going to be none of that guitar spinning up there.
No guitar spins tonight, folks. I can't spit fire or blood. I'm sorry.
Nice. We're going to get to the part of this episode that is actually brought to you by Poddex. All your interview questions at a push of a button.
Nice.
Just because I want to integrate these into this episode because reasons. So when you write a song, what do you write first? Chord progression, the vocal melody, or the lyrics?
Well, since Faith Head is a collaborative, it's mm-hmm. very different from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I either have words with no music or I have music with no words. So a lot of the times it's kind of a, it's a really a mix of the two for me. Now, basically how Faith Head writes mm-hmm. is we will, you know, and I'll give you the latest example. So, in between, Donnie and I were having a conversation. So, you know, because we're all friends and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, you know, I was having some issues, some family issues with the child. And he was having some family issues with the child. And it was kind of like, huh, you know, we're kind of walking parallel to similar issues. And so lyrically, I started on this song idea. Well, Brian and Dale, you know, had been jamming out on these riffs.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, they were kind of, you know, hee-hawing around with it. And it's like, hey, guys, what do you think? So they, you know, they threw it into the pile. I'm like, I've really got some lyrics that can go with this. So what Faith Head does, and it's really worked for us, is we kind of just throw everything into a pile.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just start working it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the like on in between, I had some musical influence. Mostly, you know, I focus on lyrics and arrangement and that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Adam, you know, vocalist, he actually has to spit all that stuff out. So, you know, he puts his spin on it. But Dale, our drummer, he is very unique for a drummer as he's a very big picture kind of a guy.
Yeah.
So he looks at the song as a whole, and he actually, it was his idea for me to have him a little bass solo in it, which, you know, I haven't had in probably, I don't know, I don't think I've had any solos really. This is probably my first one. I mean, I got some slap stuff that I do in a few songs, but,
yeah.
But you know, that's really his idea there, but so, you know, we kind of have a process of where, okay, now we kind of got it 95%,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll take it out and play it. And, we kind of play it live, it's like, oh, you know, what happened there, you know, or if it's like, oh, that was good, and then we'll play it some more, and then eventually we'll go and record it, you know, because we're a live band.
Right.
If it doesn't work live, then, you know, it's not going to really be a good song for us. Mm-hmm. Now, Faith Head, you know, like I say that, we, you know, sometimes we'll try some stuff out and then we're like, oh, that didn't work. And then we'll pull it off the set and work on it some more. But, you know, it's just kind of a process. And in between kind of had a few train wrecks live before we really kind of got it nailed down. But it's a tough song. You know, because there's so many things happening in it, so we've you know, before we really get to take it out live again, we got to work out We still have a few more kinks, but in the studio, it just really came together perfectly.
Very cool.
But, I mean, everybody in the band's kind of got their own writing thing. Mm-hmm. Donnie, historically, has always been one to present kind of more of a – he'll bring almost a complete song because he wants to have – he kind of has an idea where he wants it to go and all that fun stuff. Yeah. But Brian is a really great riff idea guy. He brings a lot of simple riffs, the very catchy riffs, and he kind of stitches a lot of stuff together. So he's kind of a riff machine when he puts out a lot of stuff. Adam's the new guy, so he's still kind of feeling his way in this, but he's got a lot of really good ideas that he throws in on the pile. And again, you know, Dale, excellent. He's an excellent drummer, big picture guy. He's a pretty good lyricist too. Our last, our previous single, "When the Dominoes Fall," he penned a lot of those lyrics. Nice. So we got a lot of we're a collaborative band. You know, it's one of the things I love, and I think the greatest advantage is that, now you can agree or disagree, when you got a lot of people doing input, it's hard for bad ideas to get through.
Oh yeah,
you know. Because I've written some real crap on my own.
You're man enough to admit that.
Well, you know.
Some of us are.
Well, you can write some stinkers on your own, left to your own devices. But, no, it's been good. It's been fun. I'm really excited about the next few songs, if we can get them done, if we can get them out there. That's about it.
Nice.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did.
Very good.
But that's really cool because, dude, I trust me, I know about the whole, you know, it takes a team, it takes a group, because even the podcast, even some of these ideas that I come up with on my own, I'm like, that's not really that great. Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like that whole trial and error thing. You know, if you look at somebody like Joe Rogan, which I listen to his podcast as much as I can, you know, I mean, he just basically, if you watch a lot of the early ones, his podcast, I mean, they're just not the best.
Yeah.
But now he's got like, a 6 million audience.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, in anything that you do that you're passionate about, you gotta try things.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. I mean, hey, that's why we got the couch now.
Yeah, I love the couch. Everybody very comfortable couch. On this couch.
Everybody loves the couch. Somebody's going to fall asleep mid-interview on that couch. I can guarantee it.
Well, if you see me kick off my shoes, you might want to just tell me to put them back on, because my hand will slide down like Al Bundy here in a minute. Yeah.
It'd be all over with then. Good thing we're not on video.
Thank you. Oh, man, we're not videoing. What the heck?
I thought about it.
I brushed my teeth today.
I know, right? So I did my hair. I actually thought about doing that.
And I bought this shirt.
Now, we're going to get a picture in that shirt. We're going to get a picture in that shirt against that awesome background right there.
It works, too.
I might even let you hold my belt.
Let's establish some boundaries here. You don't want to do that. It's sacred.
Sacred. But you're a featured artist.
Oh, well, there we go.
There you go. Ain't that pretty?
It is pretty. I saw it when you put it on Facebook. It's nice.
I don't know how many of our fans are wrestling fans or old school wrestling fans, but I am, and I wear that shit proudly.
Oh, no, I get it. In my era of wrestling, this back when it was Hulk Hogan.
The Macho Man.
Macho Man, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Iron Sheik.
Oh, yeah. The good stuff.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah. I grew up in the Austin Rock era. So.
I'm looking forward to the, what's his name? Thor guy, Chris
Hemsworth.
Yeah, him doing. Yeah. He's gonna be Hulk Hogan.
I saw that.
I'm so looking forward to that. Getting that going. I could just see it. Cause man, when I was a kid, man, I watched all that stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Loved it.
I just wonder how much input Hogan's gonna have that he's gonna be like, nah, brother, don't put that in there.
No, brother, don't you put in there right now. Did you watch the roast of him?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That was so terrible.
Ooh.
It was horrible.
It was.
His daughter's kind of just falling off the planet. She was like, had this music career thing going. What happened to her?
Hogan, I think.
Really?
I don't know. I know there was a bunch of controversy, and it was just, yeah.
He kind of popped back up and then disappeared again.
Yeah. He does that. He keeps trying to talk to McMahon about doing another wrestling, like actually wrestling again, and Vince is like, no. No. Mm-mm-mm. No. So, you know, who knows?
Sometimes, you know, at some point you got to learn to walk away.
Exactly.
You got to learn to walk away, put it down, and say, it's time for me to exit stage left.
Exactly.
Number 3. My Own Affliction, Enemy. Number 2. Devil's Envy, You Should See Me in a Crown.
Inside. see me in a crowd. I'm gonna run this nothing town. And watch me leave them bow. One by, one by, one, one.
And I just didn't know.
What question's that?
It wasn't all that good. It just wasn't that good.
Oh, let me be the judge of that.
Okay, there you go. Again, from the pod decks, interview deck. Is it worth it?
Is what worth it?
Exactly. Moving on.
Well, it all depends on what you're asking. I mean, is music worth it? Well,
that one big show.
Well, you know, it was funny. I just did an interview with Louder Than the Music, and it's coming out, I guess, sometime this week. So I will try not to spoil that, but I will kind of give you an answer.
Nice.
You know, the what makes it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for me, what makes it worth it is if we go out and we do a show, and we actually connect with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did an interview with somebody else, and they were talking about our resume, you know, how we had a pretty impressive resume. And I'm like, well, you know, that's all fine and dandy. We've done some stuff, you know, we've got a couple of feathers in our cap, but, you know, at the end of the day, none of that stuff is what keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 16-hour drives to go play that 30-minute set, you know, that you're going to get, you know, none of that stuff, you know, has ever made it worthwhile. But actually connecting, making, you know, a new fan or, you know, somebody's, you know, an email, getting an email saying, hey, you know, this song really, you know, touched me in a way or helped me get through this. I mean, that, it sounds cheesy, but, you know, those are the things that actually do make it worth it.
Definitely.
Yeah, that was a terrible question. I can't believe you asked me that.
I know, right? Let's move on now. If you could go back in time and change anything about your music career, what would it be? There's a deep question.
Oh, man. Let me just tell you. yeah, there's a few things I would. I tell you what, the biggest thing that I've learned a lot over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prior prior to Faithhead, I'd worked on other people's projects. Mm. I had been, you know, in other people's bands. It'd been a long time. It's been a long time since I had my what I would call a band that I started, or my band. I don't even consider Faithhead my band as much as it's a, you know, I kind of steer the ship, and you know, wherever the winds, you know, take us, we kind of go. But for the most part, I am, for years, you know, when you put a show together, a live show, most people just get up on stage and they play the song how it's recorded,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I learned about 4 years ago, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, we've learned a lot about how we develop a live show, mm-hmm. how you put, you know, you don't, I mean, if you want to hear the song how it sounds on the CD, then, you know, go buy the CD or download it or whatever we do these days. But learning to dismantle your songs to put them together for a live show, that, you know, as far as musical career, that would be one of the first things I would tell my past self is, you know, just because it's written a certain way doesn't necessarily mean how you have to perform it live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a biggie. Cause I think that, cause I felt like I've been rehearsing for years wrong.
Yeah.
If you play the song just how it is, you know, on a CD, then you just, there's no excitement there. You know, there's really, it's like, oh, okay, that one's done. No, unless you're like Kiss or Metallica, or, you know, even they, I mean, they don't even play it the same way anymore. Mm. I forget I was watching something on YouTube the other day, and it was Kirk Hammett was playing the solo for One. And he just did some, you know, something different. I mean, I know how it sounds on the, you know, I can sit there and go, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d, you know, mouth the whole solo out. And he's like, you did something completely different. And I'm like, what? He's like, don't you not know how your song goes? How dare you, sir?
You missed a chord back there, sir, on your song.
No, but that would be the first thing. I don't know. There's a lot of, there's a lot of things that I have learned over the last 5 years that I don't think I could have done if I would have been riding shotgun on someone else's project, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. There's a lot I would tell my past self. You know, I guess one of the biggest things that's the big shocker for me is how fake everything really is.
Mm-hmm.
Even the things that you define as success.
Mm-hmm.
In music, like a top radio hit,
yeah,
it's not real, because labels pay for radio play. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a song on the top chart, if you got the money, you can do it.
Oh yeah,
if you want your song to chart, you can make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew pay to play existed. You know, a lot in the club scene,
yeah.
For lack of better words, you got to go pay to play in these venues and whatnot.
Yep.
I knew that was there, but I didn't know. I didn't realize how big it was in radio.
Oh yeah, and it reaches.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I think it was funny because Cardi B said something in the news a few months ago, talking about, you know, people talking about one of her songs, and he's like, "I paid people to play my music." And I was just shocked that she was so forward about it. You know, I knew that kind of stuff happened, but just the fact that she said it, like, in the press,
mm-hmm.
you know, in defense of herself.
I guess it's just such common knowledge now that there's no point in hiding it anymore. It's like, hey, look, you know, hey, I'm number one for a reason. I've got the money.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
I was attending a conference. It's kind of like a, you know, anyways, I was attending this thing in Nashville, and this guy who does you know, music licensing was giving this talk, talking about radio. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, your average cost to get a song on mainstream radio is about $500,000. Wow. $500,000. This was like 2-3 years ago. He's like, yeah, if you want to get a song on the radio, you can get done. But, you know, mainstream radio.
Yeah.
There is a ton of independent radio out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very blessed that, you know, I think we're now on like 100 plus. Faith Heads Music is on like 100 plus indie stations now.
Dude, that's awesome.
It is. Here's the weird part about a lot of it. I mean, you know who we are and what we're about. Mm-hmm. Most of it's secular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a large secular audience. So, I mean, over the last 5 years, I've been compiling a list of independent stations that could potentially play us. It's about, I think it's like, I'm almost to 400 now.
Oh, wow.
That I submit to. Now, some of them may be playing us, I don't know, but I know of at least 100 of them that are now playing us.
That's awesome, dude.
It is awesome. I mean, we're not getting any money off of it, obviously, because, you know, these stations don't have, you know, the capability, but I don't really care.
Right.
You know, just the fact that the music's getting out there and getting heard.
Yeah, the music's out there. You guys are getting heard. You're building more of a fan base.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Well, you know, it's, you know, how do you reach people?
Right.
You know, and I always try to have, no matter what we do, to have mutually beneficial relationships. If there's a radio station out there that's playing our music, I make sure that they're getting a tweet at least once a week.
Yeah.
You know, saying, you know, if it's a podcast, I'm trying to tweet them at least once a month. You know, it's hard to try to, because social media is such a fickle thing, and you know, just trying to make sure I tag everybody and share everybody, you know, that I can. And but I try to have mutual beneficial relationships with these radio stations, because if you're going to play my music, I'm going to let people know that you're playing it and people should go listen to it, you know.
Exactly.
And it's just, I think it's just how it should work. Now, not everybody has my thought process on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that kind of brings me to a topic of the podcast, which when this one airs, we're going to be doing something a little bit differently. And it's going to be more crowd interaction.
Ooh.
So right now on the website, under the mosh pit, you can vote for your favorite bands. We're going to start with 12, and whoever, you know, the year of 2022 is going to be the year of the top eight. We're going to do top eights. So go on, vote for your favorite band.
So is this going to be a U.S. election where you can only vote once, or are you going to be able to vote like 400 times?
You can vote 400 times. You can use your dead grandparents' names to vote.
Okay.
You can steal this election if you want to.
Okay. I was curious how that was going to go down. Yeah. Our fans will go vote for us one time, but after that, that's the level of their commitment.
Yeah.
There's some that might vote two or three times, but they're only going to vote for us once, typically.
Are they going to go from the link that you share and then go to the site and then vote? Because that's a lot of clicks. I mean, that's
I have to. I have to make that path very simple. Click here. Click here. Not over here. Click right here. No, our fans are great, but you know, I don't ask them to go vote for us every day or that kind of a thing. You know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of bands out there that have that kind of following that they'll go and vote for them five times a day. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, you got better things to do with your life.
Yeah. I'll change my IP address and vote again.
Yeah, that's it. And again, everything in music a lot of times is fake. And you know, here's one of them. You know that. That I always, this is one of my pet peeves, and it's like, we get all these emails like, hey, you can submit your song for this award if you pay us $25.
Yeah, right?
Why don't I just pay $25, go down here to the sign shop, and get them to make me a plaque that says I won something.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's crazy, you know, how much, you know, there's just so much fake stuff out there. But, no, that's cool. I mean, it's great that... you know, you're getting out there supporting bands, and I appreciate you doing it. It's people like you that keeps the indie music scene alive.
Dude,
and I do appreciate you, Wes, for everything that you've done.
Thanks, man. Dude, I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate all the bands who, you know, freaking share, like, post, because you guys like and share a lot of the stuff I post. Some of it's stupid. Some of it's all right.
You think we're mature? Oh, man, if the other guys were here, we'd be like, we'd already be on the 13-year-old level. If you hung out with us enough, then how juvenile we get.
That's awesome, though.
Well, you know.
Hey, look, you know, this at least the show would be entertaining.
Well,
it'd be better than me sitting here going, and the next band that we have. I don't even do that anymore. I have an automated thing that I type it in, and it reads it for me.
Oh.
I've gotten lazy in my podcast years.
Oh, well, you know, it happens. Yeah. It happens.
Sometimes you got to get stuff out quick, and I just don't have time to fire up everything and make sure the sound is right.
Well, you know, it's like one of the things I was reading about social media. It's like if you have a misspelling, it's more real than if it was perfectly typed.
Oh, my God. Is that along the same lines of if you ask a question, you get less answers than if you post a wrong answer to a serious question?
It's probably in that same kind of wheelhouse of thinking, I think. So, I don't know. Nikki Sixx was doing some interview, and I'm a fan of, I don't know, I don't want to say I'm a fan of Nikki Sixx. He doesn't necessarily have an influence, but I'm an observer of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few professionals, musicians, and celebrities, rock stars, whatever you want to call them. I'm just an observer, and he's one of those. And he was talking about, it was one of the comments he made was, it's always more real if you like have a typo or something in it. I was like, really? I just think that you just have bad grammar.
Yeah, I'm too much of a perfectionist for that.
I was like, well, okay.
Number 1, Faith Head, In Between. We'll be right back.
facade. And I pray that my friends can help me break the barriers.
In between, I struggle with being shy and I pray for boldness.
In between, I struggle with my addiction and I pray for the Lord to help me walk in sobriety and be a better man.